Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, what if your home's title, which is the legal document that proves you own your home, is in some criminal's name? Well, that's called home title theft, and criminals all over the world can find your home's title online, and then they'll forge your signature, they'll take out loans against your home, or even worse, sell your home. Now, how do you know some criminal's not taking over the title to your home? You can find out with sign up at HometitleLock.com and use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's HealthLock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so it's a brand new year, gentlemen, and if relationship goals aren't at the top of your resolution list, guess what? They should be. Now, starting this year off with a romantic gift from our friends at 1-800-Flowers.com, well, that's going to be the best decision that you make all year. Now, 1-800-Flowers has great deals on elegant and stunning bouquets. And right now, when you order a dozen multicolored roses for just $29.99, well, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen plus a vase absolutely free. And that's 50% off the original price. Now, every bouquet is backed by 1-800-Flowers' 100% smile guarantee. If your loved one has any issue, 1-800-Flowers will always make it right. So to order a dozen multicolored roses, get a free extra dozen and a vase for just $29.99 to make the women in your life so happy, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, enter the promo code HannityPod. 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and put in the code HannityPod. Hurry, this offer ends soon.
This is with regard to the construction of the Keystone Pipeline. Something that's been in dispute, and it's subject to a renegotiation of terms by us. We're going to renegotiate some of the terms, and if they'd like, we'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs, great construction jobs. Okay, Keystone Pipeline. This is with respect to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline. Again, subject to terms and conditions to be negotiated by us. Okay. This is construction of pipelines in this country. We are, and I am, very insistent that if we're going to build pipelines in the United States, the pipes should be made in the United States. So unless there's difficulty with that, because companies are going to have to sort of gear up, much pipeline is bought from other countries. From now on, we're going to start making pipeline in the United States. We build it in the United States. We build the pipelines. We want to build the pipe. Going to put a lot of workers, a lot of steel workers, back to work. Okay. We will build our own pipeline. We will build our own pipes. That's what it has to do with. Like we used to in the old days. This is about streamlining the incredibly cumbersome, long, horrible permitting process and reducing regulatory burdens for domestic manufacturing. Many of the people that we've been meeting with over the last long period of time, but yesterday and others, the process is so long and cumbersome that they give up before the end. Sometimes it takes many, many years, and we don't want that to happen. And if it's a no, we'll give them a quick no. And if it's a yes, it's like, let's start building. The regulatory process in this country has become a tangled up mess and very unfair to people. That's a big one. Okay. This is the expediting of environmental reviews and approvals for high priority infrastructure projects. We intend to fix our country, our bridges, our roadways. We can't be in an environmental process for 15 years if a bridge is going to be falling down or if a highway is crumbling. So we're expediting environmental reviews and approvals. That's what this is.
All right, there you have what's called action. You know, one of the things as I was watching that this morning, and that's Donald Trump talking about the Keystone Pipeline, which now can move forward, of course, after being renegotiated to our benefit and also being renegotiated that the pipe is going to be made, if it's going to be laid in the United States, that it should be made by American steelworkers. That's 28,000 jobs that would be created there and then. That doesn't even include the steelworkers and the Dakota Access Pipeline. And, of course, his promise yesterday was 75% plus of burdensome regulation would be removed from businesses. And one of those examples he used today in his executive orders was to expedite environmental reviews. Now, that's a really big, big deal for Americans that are trying to get jobs done. Let me give you a couple examples about this. You know, and this is the thing. I know a lot of people are interested in the balls and a lot of people are interested in the ceremonies and the inauguration. And, yeah, that's all part of the process. But to me, it's about fixing the country. And these are things that are going to fix the country. Ending burdensome regulation will fix the country. The first thing that stood out as I'm watching Trump do this today is how many executive orders did we watch Barack Hussein Obama do on national TV? The transparency issue was, I mean, what a contrast. He's saying what he's doing and he does it. And he's not hiding it. He's not doing it behind closed doors. All of these regulations, all of Obama trying to rule by executive fiat was done behind closed doors in the hopes that most people wouldn't see it or find out about it. We got, you know, 3,000 of them, and that it's costing businesses trillions of dollars. And so that is a big, huge, massive difference. Let me give you an example. I have a friend of mine that is a builder. He builds condominium projects. And I'll give you two examples that he had to deal with just in Florida alone. Years ago, Jack Kemp had this, I wouldn't call it, it was like a PowerPoint, except it was on a poster board, of all the steps one had to take, all the regulations, all the money that had to be paid out just to build a house in California. And it's beyond any recognition or reality that anybody can possibly afford or maintain. Now, remember, Obamacare was supposed to save you on average $2,500 a year, keep your doctor, keep your plan, etc. Well, it ended up costing the average family over the course of Obama's presidency $5,400 more a year. And then on top of that, then, you know, it's up another 117% in Arizona this year alone, 30% nationwide. So this builder friend of mine, two projects that he was involved in. One happened to be on a beach in Florida. Won't say where, won't say who, don't want to get the guy in trouble. But every single morning, you know, they finally, after paying the fees, buying the property, fighting the zoning boards, you know, fighting the size of the project, fighting, you know, he gets permission to build a really state-of-the-art, top-notch facility with condominiums in it. All right. Now, pretty big investment. A lot of people put to work for a long period of time. And his biggest fear, because the margins were really close, and as he said to me, he overpaid a little bit for the property, but he wanted it to be extra, extra special and extra, extra nice. But his biggest fear, and he was warned by the local government, was in the building of this condo project, if at any time turtles laid eggs on the beach way out there in front of the project, that the project would immediately be put on hold until the turtles hatched and made their way into the ocean. And I said, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no, but I mean stop. It stopped. Now this person, he was trying to cooperate as much as he fully could with the government. He actually had to hire somebody that would get up at the crack of dawn every day, and their job was to see if turtles had laid eggs near the project, which would mean all of the carpenters and all of the plumbers and all the electricians and all the cement workers and all of the builders and all of the finishers and everybody in between, well, that would mean that their jobs would be put on hold. I don't know how long turtle eggs take to hatch, but for at least that period of time. Now, I'm sure that he hired the guy to find the turtle eggs so that he can inform the local government that turtles laid their eggs, and I'm sure that he was going to tell them that the turtles had laid their eggs, and this is the location. So he wanted to get there first so he could inform them, being the good citizen that he was. You know, it's not like he would stomp on the eggs or anything. Really, that would be horrible. But the point is, now, let's say the eggs were there. How about a little compromise? Let's say that you put a fenced around area for the turtles, protect the eggs, and let the guys that have children and wives and girlfriends and mothers and fathers that they need to take care of. How about we can protect the turtles and we can still keep building the project? No, that wasn't an option for that local government, as insane as that sounds. I'll give you another example. So same, a different guy, different project, condominiums, really beautiful, enhancing the community. This is a massive job. This is five high-rise condominium projects in South Florida. A guy's going to build. Again, they invest in the land. They fight the government. They fight over the size. They fight over the project. They fight over the materials. They fight over environmental. They fight over this, that. That finally gets the building permits to get the project up. Now, the problem is, in this particular area, well, in the interim, by the time they bought the property and the time that they were ready to get their building permit, a bald eagle decided to nest in the property. So then the town said, no, you can't build there. And I'm like, why not? Because the bald eagle, it's an endangered species. I said, okay. Well, so they said, they brought in an architect to build a special bald eagle sanctuary habitat. And that wasn't enough for the government. They offered to move and to buy other property for the bald eagle to be happy and raise all its little bald eagle chicks. And the government still said no. They ended up spending $3 million in court to get the right to build on the property. And they still had to build the stupid sanctuary for the bald eagle. Now, I like bald eagles. Remember, the most beautiful, I mean, incredible eagles, watching them soar is a sight to see. And I mean that. I'm not being facetious here. But the idea that we can't coexist with the bald eagle, and the fact that they're willing to hire an architect, and they're willing to build a sanctuary, and they're willing to build around where the bald eagle lives, it would actually be pretty cool if I owned a place in that condominium project, and I could look out the window and show my kids, hey, look at the bald eagle soaring. You know, maybe we'd buy some mice and throw them out on the ground and let them go eat the mice or something like that and help the bald eagle. And then I'd have the Coalition for the Protection of Mice Services at my door that day to arrest me. But the point is, there's a way to get things done. And, you know, one of the articles I read today was, because I'm reading about the Keystone, brilliant idea. Why do we need the Keystone Pipeline? Why? It's going to create tens and tens of thousands of jobs. The Dakota Access Pipeline, tens of thousands of jobs. All these projects that take 12 years to get permission because of environmental review laws expediting that. Can we get it done in 3 months instead of 13 years? It prevents any progress in this country. And if we can get rid of 75% or more of that burdensome regulation we put on business, think of how many jobs we can create. You know, why have I been pushing and pushing and pushing energy independence? Why? Because the people we buy oil from hate us. The Saudis are not our friends. The Middle Eastern countries that practice Sharia that are happen to be rich in oil are not and will never be our friends. That's just a fact. And what frustrates me is finally we can get something done. Now the question is, there was an article in Roll Call today. Biggest challenge of 2017. Can Republicans tame Trump? You know what that article means? Can they get Trump to cave? Can they get him to make a promise, read my lips, no new taxes, then cave?
Bringing jobs back to America and getting America back to work. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, as we roll along from our nation's capital, it's the Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. There's so many good things that will come out of ending burdensome regulation, the bureaucracy, high taxes. Now, my worry, and we'll get into this later with Congressman Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows. If you ask me, well, what are your worries, Hannity, about the success of all of this? Well, it's simple. I mean, Congress just voted before Trump became president to expand the debt ceiling $9.7 trillion. They're saying things like, well, that's the only way we could move forward with reconciliation. They never needed an amount of money, which is, without getting too complicated, it's the budgetary process by which they can repeal large parts of Obamacare because it was passed through the reconciliation process. And so my concern is, okay, well, Donald Trump's saying he wants to cut government 10%. Now, if any of you were spending more than you were taking in, could you cut your budget by 10%? I know I could. Why can't the federal government that just accumulated more debt in 8 years than they had, you know, from the previous 43 presidents combined? How is it possible we can't live within our means? Now, the good thing about, you know, there's a reason all of these companies, and there are a lot of them now. I mean, you've got Carrier and Ford and GM and Fiat Chrysler and Apple and Alibaba and Foxconn, $7 billion, and Kroger. Why are these companies now saying proudly that they're going to keep jobs in America and they're going to invest here, invest in factories, manufacturing centers? Because they know the business environment's about to get as good as it has been in over a decade. So it's worth the investment. I don't think most companies believe that the better labor market is necessarily in Mexico. And I think Trump's saying, well, you're just going to have to pay some type of fee if you want to bring the, if you take the jobs away from Americans. That then makes it, he's creating incentives for business. He's telling and telegraphing to business, we're open for business. The government's getting off your back. That we're going to lower the regulatory burdensome regulations that make your life impossible, that we're going to allow you to make money, and we're going to reduce the corporate tax rate. We're saying hire Americans because if you do, it's going to be good for your country and good for sales. And then he's going to renegotiate, you know, bilateral trade negotiations with, for example, Great Britain, then renegotiate NAFTA with Canada, Mexico. Then if he's going to have negotiations with Asia, it's going to be on a bilateral basis there. All smart and all a path to more prosperity. We'll continue from D.C. So like many of you, I used to suffer from insomnia. No matter what I did, I just couldn't get a perfect night's sleep. Well, then I met Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. He got me fitted for my very own MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-467-1962. Use the promo code Sean to take advantage of Mike's 2-for-1 offer. Now, MyPillow is made right here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. And by the way, you can even wash it and dry it. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-467-1962, promo code Sean, to get Mike's special 2-for-1 offer. We are in our nation's capital, 800-941-SEAN. We're going to be joined at the top of the next hour. These are the guys I think we can count on to advance conservatism in Congress. The Freedom Caucus, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Mark Meadows, North Carolina. Now, we're also putting them on TV tonight, along with Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, as well as Congressman Louie Gohmert, and as well as, what's the other guy, Congressman Scott Penny, who is from Pennsylvania, a member of the Freedom Caucus. And the reason is that we're going to need these guys, they have a big enough block as a caucus to stop establishment Republicans if they're going to do dumb and stupid things. So at some point, we're going to need them. Anyway, our friend Jamie Dupree keeping us up to date on all that's happening today. You have a series of Trump cabinet nominees approved by Senate committees today. Chow, Carson, Nikki Haley, and Ross. Not sure when they all go to the full Senate. The vote on Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, that has now been delayed a week, and that can be done once in every committee. Tom Price, they've been going after him with a fury, these attempts by the left to undermine his nomination. The guy has $10 million in, I guess, personal wealth. They're talking about like a $1,500 stock trade. Well, he was involved in something related to health care. He's a doctor. And on top of that, he didn't even make the choice. His investor, his broker made the choice, which, by the way, is something I can identify with. I have no idea. I have documents from my accountant guy today. I have no idea what I signed. None. I am not reading this crap. I just have better things to do with my life. And I just warn him that if he mismanages my money, he's going to be in big trouble. That's the way I do it. Anyway, so we've got Trump is to speak at a joint session of Congress, President Trump, on February 28th. This is not the State of the Union address. It'll look like it. The White House has been very clear they're not going to move quickly to overturn the Obama executive actions on DACA, and that has got some people worried. I'll get to that in a second because I think that's important. But these are pretty big, bold moves today. And if I will say this, I said this to Laura Ingraham. I was on her radio show earlier today. I said, look, to the extent that Donald Trump keeps his promises, and I've gone through the list many times, you know what I'm talking about, the wall, the vetting, the originalist, the tax cuts, energy independence, education back to the states. To the extent he keeps those promises, there will be a direct correlation to how successful a president he will be. Because the agenda is right. How did I know that Obama would be so bad? I knew because liberalism as a political ideology and philosophy is a failure. It's never worked. It's never going to start working. The single best thing that we can offer the people of this country is to get the burdens of government off of our back. They're on our ass 24/7. You know, a guy's willing to build a bird sanctuary and he still can't build a building. Guys, you know, has put every penny into a project at great risk that's hiring every trade possible to build a condominium project. And if a turtle lays the egg, you don't get to build it. This is a form of government tyranny and oppression that's got to end. And when Trump said yesterday, well, we can get rid of 75%, that's a good thing. 75% of regulations. Do you really think we need the government in every aspect of our life? We don't. And the problem is government is the problem. They don't help solve problems. Mitch McConnell on the floor this morning said the president invited the Democratic leader and chairman and ranking member of the Judiciary Committee and myself to the White House this afternoon to meet with him regarding the Supreme Court vacancy as part of his ongoing consultations with members of Congress. We're going to get into this in a little bit here, because trust me, Democrats aren't going to like anybody on Trump's list. And as he moves forward with all of this, and he's probably going to announce his Supreme Court choice next week. And one of the things, a leading contender for the Supreme Court, you know, this guy, Judge Gorsuch, another guy is Pryor from Alabama, both great jurists. Anyway, Gorsuch, a highly regarded conservative known for upholding religious liberty rights and legal battles over Obamacare, has emerged as a leading contender for the Supreme Court. He's 49 years old, among 21 potential high court candidates. When I interview Trump in the White House on Thursday, I will directly be asking him about that, because I think that's a big deal to all of us. Supreme Court will impact this country for generations. One of the reasons I would argue that he has won. Anyway, so what's going to happen, what we find is, according to Trump, his decision will probably be made sometime this week, and he will be announcing it next week. Among the four names that are most often mentioned are Judge William Pryor. He's on the 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Alabama, and he's close to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, the Alabama senator. Pryor is also young. He's, well, fairly young. He's born in 1962, originally given a recess appointment to the appeals court. Senate Democrats then tried to block Pryor's subsequent nomination, citing a strong criticism of Roe v. Wade. He called it the worst abomination in the history of constitutional law. Roe has always been viewed as bad law, conferring rights that weren't meant to be conferred from the Constitution. And everybody thinks if Roe v. Wade goes away, well, that's it. Women will have back alley abortions. That's not the case at all. It'll be determined on a state-by-state basis. Now, this guy that I just mentioned, Neil Gorsuch, he's on the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Denver. He was born in 1967, went to Harvard Law, clerked for Justices Byron White and Anthony Kennedy, went into private practice in Washington before joining the Bush Justice Department. His mother is the first female administrator of the EPA, and he wrote the book The Future of Assisted Suicide and Euthanasia. That name has been creeping up in recent weeks. Another one that we keep hearing a lot of is Judge Thomas Hardiman, 3rd Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Pittsburgh. He was born in 65, and he saw the Supreme Court affirm his 2010 ruling that a jail policy of strip searching all those arrested does not violate the Fourth Amendment ban on unreasonable search and seizure. Well, in this day and age, we know that people put things in cavities that they'd never put there before. Anyway, he sits on the same court as Donald Trump's sister, despite the family ties not being considered for any high court vacancy, meaning the sister. And the fact that Hardiman did not attend an Ivy League school, he went to Notre Dame undergrad, Georgetown Law School, may appeal to Trump's populist leanings. The fourth major contender that we're hearing about is Judge Raymond Kethledge, 6th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He clerked for Kennedy. He was in private practice before joining the appeals court in 2008, but it took more than 2 years to get that nomination confirmed after two Michigan Democratic senators raised objections in a larger fight over judicial nominees, really not having a lot to do with him. Anyway, so all were appointees of George W. Bush, a sign that judicial picks have far-reaching impact even after decades. So, you know, we'll see. But Charles Schumer is saying he's prepared to fight. Let's see who they nominate. If they're in the mainstream, we'll give them a very careful look. If they're out of the mainstream, we will oppose them tooth and nail. Okay, that means he's going to oppose anybody. Because if you're not a radical left-wing, you know, like activist like Chucky Schumer, then there's nobody that you're going to like. Just the way he rolls. You know, Newt Gingrich has been pretty outspoken about this, too, and especially on the issue of Chuck Schumer, and he said his position on the Supreme Court is indefensible. Democrats are going to oppose anybody that Donald Trump picks, because Donald Trump has pledged to pick an originalist. And if the nominee is not a bipartisan mainstream, we will keep the seat open, Schumer said. Democrats do have leverage. You need 60 votes to get to cloture and overcome, you know, procedural objections. Republicans have a 52-seat advantage in the Senate, so they'll need 8 Democrats to cross over. Gingrich said about this is, you know, his position is hopeless. He's only going to support a Supreme Court nominee that he approves of. Well, he's not the president of the United States. Chuck Schumer was not elected. And he said it's nutty and indefensible that Schumer has taken this position. And now Mitch McConnell, we'll see if Mitch McConnell holds strong on this. He was asked Sunday about the issue of Supreme Court justices, and he said whoever the president picks will get passed. Now, we do have, you know, precedent set by Harry Reid, and the nuclear option was used by Harry Reid, but he said he wouldn't use it for the Supreme Court. Well, what's the point? If he used it for all the other justices, what's the point here? So that should only work for the Democrats and not the Republicans? That would be pretty stupid. Some other news today, Trump made the decision to keep Jim Comey on as the director of the FBI. That's bad news for Hillary Clinton, and it may end up derailing attempts by Democrats to get Trump impeached as soon as possible. Anyway, the New York Times reports when Comey and the president-elect met in Trump Tower for the first time this month for an intelligence briefing, Trump told the FBI director that he hoped he would remain in the position according to people that were briefed on the matter. And Trump's aides made it clear to Comey that the president does not plan to ask him to leave because he has a 10-year term and it's supposed to go through presidents. Comey made it amply clear during his July press conference that he thought Hillary was guilty of sin. We just did. Remember, 13 minutes. Wow. Laying out an indictment. And then he goes, whoops, sorry, never mind. Anyway, I suspect that all of Comey's protesting that the case against Hillary wasn't prosecutable is just window dressing. And, you know, it's a difficult position for anybody to be in. I think this is a clear-cut case, and we've identified all these laws that she's broken. But, you know, this is the nominee of a major party, and you're going to make an indictment or recommend an indictment just, you know, 2 months, 3 months before a general election. That is a horrible position to be in. By the way, I've got to give Sean Spicer a few programming notes. Sean Spicer is on tonight. He's got to deal with all of these news organizations that colluded with Hillary. He's on tonight. We're going to go to the White House again today. By the way, did you see my tweet, Lauren, yesterday? He didn't see my tweet? So I took a picture when I walked into the White House. It's all lit up. It's night, dark. It looks great. Looks freshly painted, as usual. And so I took a picture of the White House, and I tweeted out, it's been 8 long years. And then I wrote, I'm back. It's been over 8 years because I had one of the last, I think I had the last interview with President Bush as he was leaving. I had the exit interview with him. The alt-left media gets shut out of the first full press conference. You got to love this. This is hilarious. You know, Newt Gingrich has given advice to Sean Spicer, too, on the media. And you know what it is? He goes, you don't need them. He's saying, you know what? The propaganda media is biased in their coverage of Trump. So what they're doing now is including other people. They're including bloggers. They're including radio hosts. They're including, quote, he's suggesting even including non-journalists, people. Well, just think about it. We the people. What about letting people come in and say, well, I live in this community. Let's say you live in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. What is the president's latest position on fixing the water in our city? Can you imagine the government knew and didn't fix the water? And then the line that Trump used to be that, you know, our cars were made in Michigan and there was bad water in Mexico. Now the cars are made in Mexico. I mean, it does say a lot about how things shift and how things change. And speaking of Michigan, you know, the alt-left Trump-hating media was once demanding that Donald Trump provide evidence that millions of illegal votes were cast, but their demand for evidence was a lie in and of itself because they already know what the evidence is. Even without any serious national effort to uncover voter fraud, these fake news alt-radical left phonies know that thousands of people were caught and convicted of casting illegal votes over the last 8 years. And by the way, in over half of Detroit's 662 voting precincts, you know, may be ineligible for the ongoing recount because the number of ballots in the precinct poll do not match those from the voting machine printout reports. That sounds like voter fraud in Michigan. That means he probably won Michigan by a lot more, meaning Trump.
Sean Hannity.
All right, as we continue, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Just some programming notes. We have Congressman Jim Jordan and Congressman Mark Meadows, Freedom Caucus coming up, Lila Rose in the next hour, and the DNC forum where these candidates, one lady saying, my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt and shut their mouths if they are white. Unbelievable. Now, Sean Spicer, the new press secretary tonight, Reince Priebus tomorrow. We have tonight also a group of congressmen, and I will interview the new president in the White House on Thursday night for Hannity on the Fox News Channel. So if you want to put that on your calendar. Quick break, right back from D.C. It's the Sean Hannity Show.
This is with regard to the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, something that's been in dispute, and it's subject to a renegotiation of terms by us. We're going to renegotiate some of the terms, and if they'd like, we'll see if we can get that pipeline built. A lot of jobs, 28,000 jobs, great construction jobs. Okay, Keystone Pipeline. This is with respect to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline. Again, subject to terms and conditions to be negotiated by us. Okay. This is construction of pipelines in this country. We are, and I am, very insistent that if we're going to build pipelines in the United States, the pipe should be made in the United States. So unless there's difficulty with that, because companies are going to have to sort of gear up, much pipeline is bought from other countries. From now on, we're going to start making pipeline in the United States. We build it in the United States. We build the pipelines. We want to build the pipe. Going to put a lot of workers, a lot of steel workers, back to work. Okay. We will build our own pipeline. We will build our own pipes. That's what it has to do with, like we used to in the old days. This is about streamlining the incredibly cumbersome, long, horrible permitting process and reducing regulatory burdens for domestic manufacturing. Many of the people that we've been meeting with over the last long period of time, but yesterday and others, the process is so long and cumbersome that they give up before the end. Sometimes it takes many, many years, and we don't want that to happen. And if it's a no, we'll give them a quick no. And if it's a yes, it's like, let's start building. The regulatory process in this country has become a tangled up mess and very unfair to people. That's a big one. Okay. This is the expediting of environmental reviews and approvals for high priority infrastructure projects. We intend to fix our country, our bridges, our roadways. We can't be in an environmental process for 15 years if a bridge is going to be falling down or if a highway is crumbling. So we're expediting environmental reviews and approvals. That's what this is.
In the White House, the DNC chair will be the most visible national Democrat in the country. No, the question of whether or not the posture of the Democratic Party should be to work with Donald Trump, President Trump, where we can, or fight him all the way. Joy, work with Donald Trump. Raise your hand.
Joy, that's a question that is absolutely ridiculous. The chair of the Democratic National Committee doesn't meet with the Republican president. We are about building a strong party. We're not about taking positions and taking the role away of legislators or
elected
officials.
But we know that the RNC chair, Michael Steele, part of what he spent a lot of his time doing was messaging against the Democratic president. So the Democratic Party chair does message about the president, right?
If you saw the millions of people who marched in the streets this weekend and participated in it, they are looking to the Democratic Party. We have an opportunity as a party to be that place of resistance. And so we have to form a solid resistance as a party. And no, it is not about working with Donald Trump. No, it is not about working with his bigotry. No, it is not about working with someone who takes our health care away. We will miss the opportunity if we do not provide a platform for those millions of people, millions of women.
I have to shorten you.
All right. There was, of course, that goes back to the forum that took place with the Democratic Party, the DNC, a forum for candidates. And what's the future of the Democratic Party? But prior to that, you know, you hear the new president of the United States. All right. Advancing the Keystone Pipeline, 28,000 jobs, the Dakota Access Pipeline. Oh, and by the way, we've got a subject to renegotiation that we can build the pipes and put steel workers back to work in this country. And then, of course, expediting and streamlining the regulatory burden on business, which he mentioned yesterday. We might be able to eliminate some 75% plus of these regulations that are stifling business growth and opportunity in this country. And then expediting the environmental reviews because, you know, I know of buildings that can't be built because turtles laid their eggs, for crying out loud, on a beach somewhere. And every other environmental extremist story that we've heard about. I know a guy that was building down in Naples, Florida, and he had to spend millions of dollars because there was a bald eagle on the property, and they were willing to build a special sanctuary for the bald eagle, and it took them years to get permission to build there. A special bald eagle sanctuary wasn't enough for these environmentalists. Anyway, but the big question is, and Walter Shapiro wrote about this in Roll Call, the biggest challenge of 2017, can Republicans tame Trump? History may judge, quote, enablers harshly. Well, what's wrong with that agenda? Joining us, Congressman Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus is with us, and Congressman Mark Meadows, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. He actually took over Jim Jordan's job and threw him out of that position. What was up with that? Was that some political infighting going on or what?
No, he still is the de facto chairman there. He is a good friend, and you know, we owe a great deal of gratitude to my good friend, the gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Jordan.
Well, listen, I'm friends with both of you. The Freedom Caucus and people like Pete King and Louie Gohmert and Marsha Blackburn that aren't a part of the caucus, you know, to be perfectly honest, there's very few people in this city, D.C., where I am today that I trust, but I trust you guys. Why did the Republican Party advance a debt ceiling increase of $9.7 trillion over 10 years? Can either of you explain that to me? Because that doesn't sound like limited government and balanced budgets to me.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. But it was step one in this complicated process we have to go through to repeal Obamacare. Unfortunately, what the Senate sent over was a long-range plan that did not address the debt problem, and it stuck with basic baseline spending, which has resulted in the 9.7 number that you referenced, Sean. So none of us liked it. In fact, some of us were contemplating voting against it, but we said, look, we made a promise to the American people that we're going to get rid of Obamacare, all of it, repeal every single mandate, tax, and regulation in it, and you can't do that if you don't take this first step. So we had to hold our nose and go for it. But the next budget that comes here in about 6-8 weeks, we got to get after the spending problem, because as you know and your listeners know, it's a $20 trillion problem.
Well, I want to know this. Like, for example, I look at the Trump agenda, and by the way, Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and Marsha Blackburn and Louie Gohmert and others are going to join us on TV tonight. You know, I'm just a little bit concerned because I look at the Trump agenda, building a wall, extreme vetting, lower corporate tax rates to 15%, middle class taxes are lowered, repatriation of trillions from multinational corporations, repealing, replacing Obamacare, energy independence, fixing the VA, building up our military. Congressman Meadows, chairman of the Freedom Caucus, is anything that I just mentioned there not conservative?
No, absolutely not. It's all conservative. It's something that we need to support. And I think more importantly, we must deliver on it. If we don't, Sean, we need to go home, find a different job. The American people are tired of excuses. It's time now to make sure that what we do is truly deliver on what not only President Trump campaigned on, but that many of us have campaigned on. So it's time to earn back that trust from that deficit of trust that we have now.
Well, I think that in many ways, would either one of you agree with my observation that in many ways, the Republican Party, by breaking their promise on repealing, replacing Obamacare and only having 50 show votes, but not using the power of the purse, their enumerated constitutional authority, that they've hurt themselves with the public. And the same thing on executive amnesty.
Well, and it's the environment that created the ability for Donald Trump to win the nomination and become president. You talked about those construction jobs. You talk about hardworking people. On energy independence of what the president signed today on this executive order on the Keystone Pipeline. You wonder now, you look at why he won Ohio, why he won Pennsylvania, why he won Michigan, why he won Wisconsin, because people there said, we're tired of all the baloney here. We want some of the common sense solutions that conservatives have been talking about, that Donald Trump campaigned on. That's what this is about. And as Mark rightly said, now we have to do what we told them we were going to do, what they elected us to do, those common sense things that you just rattled off.
Unbelievable. I just want to know this. How much can we realistically expect to get done? For example, I love the regulation repeals, the regulatory burden repeal of the new president. I love the fact that, you know, we now may move forward with the Keystone Pipeline and the Dakota Access Pipeline. And I love the fact that we're expediting environmental review and that process, because that's become a nightmare for everybody. But of the agenda, I mean, 2 years from now, when you guys are up for re-election, are you going to be able to say we've created millions of jobs? Are you going to be able to say that we're now on the path to energy independence? Is the wall going to be half built? Are we going to really vet refugees?
Sean, we better be able to say that. That is exactly what we campaigned on. And as Mark rightly said, not just what the president campaigned on, but what we campaigned on, why we created the Freedom Caucus, because we felt like there were countless number of families across this country who felt like Washington had forgotten them. Our job is to remember them. Donald Trump ran on that, and now it's time to deliver. So yeah, let's get rid of every bit of Obamacare. Let's actually build a wall. Let's actually throw out a tax code that everyone in the country knows is broken. Let's do all those things. And it's been starting with these executive orders that we saw on Saturday that said, let's give some freedom to the agencies when it comes to Obamacare. And today with what we saw on energy independence. So let's do all those things. We had better deliver, because that's what they sent us here to do.
Well, and Sean, one of the other things you and I were talking about earlier is the fact that he's already created 1.5 million jobs just since November 8th, and he's only been in office a few days now. And so we need to continue and build on that. I can tell you that President Trump is a result kind of guy. He wants to make sure that we actually follow through. I think the pressure is going to be on both the House and the Senate, more probably on the Senate, because they take a little bit longer to get things done. But it is important that we don't water down what we have promised and make sure that we take critical votes in the House and put the pressure on the Senate.
Well, I think the Senate is going to be where the problems are. Do you both agree with that?
Oh, without a doubt. I think, you know, when you look at just the 60-vote threshold, you've got a real problem there. But it is also about really the leadership of Mitch McConnell and the entire leadership there. They need to make sure, if they don't see the light, that they feel the heat. And so your listeners calling into the switchboards and encouraging senators and House members to vote the correct way is a critical component.
Yeah, and remember what happen, Sean. If there's a bill that's passed the House that's good legislation and is what we've told the voters we're going to deliver on, and it's sitting there in the Senate, the President of the United States can show up in states like Indiana and tell Joe Donnelly, maybe you want to think about voting for this before you stand for re-election. And 18. So there are those kind of pressures that can happen as well in the political process, and I'm sure that's going to take place.
All right. Thank you both, Congressman Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, the people that we conservatives will count on, the Freedom Caucus in the U.S. Congress. We'll see both of you and others tonight as we have a mini town hall on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Also, Ted Cruz will join us tonight, and Sean Spicer, who has to deal with the media, he'll join us. Our interview in the White House with Donald Trump is for Thursday. That's all coming up as well.
Bringing jobs back to America and getting America back to work. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
We also believe that immigration makes us a stronger country. We will not build a stupid wall. And we will not tear millions of families apart. Not on our watch. And we believe that sexism, racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger. We believe that equal means equal. And that's true in the workplace, it's true in marriage, it's true every place. We will never stop fighting to ensure equality for all of our citizens. One more that I cannot believe I have to do in 2017. We believe in equal pay for equal work and a woman's right to decisions over her. Believe. This is what we will fight for. This is what we will march for.
President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise.
All right, that, of course, more information, by the way, from, yes, your loving friends at the Women's March from this past Saturday, or as we like to call it here on the Sean Hannity Show, the Let's Contemplate Blowing Up the White House March, and we won't get in trouble for suggesting such a thing. Still, I can't the media is so abusively biased and corrupt, you can't even make this stuff up. One of the things I'm doing tonight, I got Sean Spicer on. He's got to deal with the news media. How do you deal with people that you know colluded and colluded and desired to defeat the person that you're representing? Why do they even have access to the White House at this point? They're not objective news organizations. You know, we get criticized all the time. Oh, Hannity, you have an opinion. Yeah, we've been honest about it for 30 years on radio and 21 years on Fox. How hard is this to understand? All right, when we come back, wide open telephones, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program, and Lila Rose will join us next as well, the president of Live Action. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, toll-free our telephone numbers, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, we'll get back to our top story later in the program at the top of the next hour, the chairman candidates at the DNC forum and the insanity that was uttered there. But our friends at Live Action are back. Remember President Trump's executive order funding countries that actually spend money on abortions from yesterday. Remember, this whole big issue came up during the campaign. Donald Trump said, yeah, Planned Parenthood does some good things, but as long as they continue to use money for abortions, he wouldn't fund them. Well, are they really responsible for doing good things? Because the group Live Action, this is Lila Rose's group, who's been on the program many times before, you know, they've done more investigative work. They've exposed the corruption and the fraud of Planned Parenthood. But anyway, Planned Parenthood has always insisted that prenatal care is one of their core services that women will lose if taxpayer funding is cut off. Live Action's investigation proves these services are virtually non-existent. How did they do it? Well, they did it the way they did their other videos, undercover. Let's listen.
Prenatal care. These are the kinds of services that folks depend on Planned Parenthood for.
And a president who will fight for prenatal care.
Prenatal care. And that is what we want to focus on. That is what is so vital.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood. My name is Agnes. This is today.
Hi, I was hoping to make an appointment for prenatal care.
For what type of service?
Prenatal care, pregnancy care.
We don't have prenatal care here. Planned Parenthood offers abortions, so they don't offer prenatal care.
Okay, just abortions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no, we wouldn't provide any type of prenatal services here at Planned Parenthood.
We're not a prenatal care provider.
No, Planned Parenthood does prenatal care.
We don't offer prenatal care at Planned Parenthood.
We specialize in abortions. You know, that's what our ultrasounds are for, to see how far along the patient is.
Planned Parenthood, we do birth control, you know, things like that are major. We check for STI, but we don't do prenatal.
We tell you you're pregnant, and we also at Planned Parenthood to do the abortions.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so we don't do any prenatal services.
No
here.
Prenatal.
No, we don't do prenatal services. I mean, it's called Planned Parenthood. I know it's kind of deceiving.
Do you have OBGYNs here?
We do not, no.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which is a deceptive name, right? I think the same thing. Or, you know, if you were looking into termination options, we can do that as well.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood can take care of all your reproductive health needs?
Whether it's an annual exam, pregnancy testing and counseling, prenatal care, we are here for you with high-quality, low-cost services.
Thank you for holding. This is... How can I help you?
I was wondering if you guys offer prenatal care.
No, we don't. Not at the moment. Neither our Hampton or Richmond office does.
No, see, we don't see pregnant women as a way of giving prenatal care.
Okay.
We see pregnant women, you know, if they are considering other options.
Like what other options? Like what do you see the doctor for?
At this location?
Yes.
So at this location, you guys do medication abortion?
Medication abortion.
What pregnancy services do you offer?
We only offer termination services.
We actually don't offer prenatal services. We're not licensed to do so in Oregon or Washington.
Do any of the Planned Parenthoods?
No, we do not offer any prenatal care.
They say in their commercials they offer prenatal care. And back in 2011, the Planned Parenthood president, Cecile Richards, told the media that prenatal care, these are the kinds of services that folks depend on Planned Parenthood for. Well, based on those calls, it sounds like Abortion Inc. to me. Lila Rose is the founder and president of Live Action, here to discuss. It's also in video form. We'll link to it on Hannity.com. That apparently has nothing to do with becoming a parent. In fact, just the opposite. And welcome back to the program, Lila Rose. How are you?
Hi, Sean. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. How many calls did you make?
We called 41 affiliates and 97 different Planned Parenthoods or visited them in person. So we spanned every single affiliate where we can record in across the country. There's 56 total. We went to 41.
Wow. And not one of them offered prenatal services.
Out of the 97, five said that they would offer it. But out of those five, two said they weren't taking any more appointments and they were all filled up. And one said it was a referral to another facility. So it was pretty negligible.
So, I mean, all these arguments that have been made, you know, for example, your original undercover videos that showed about the selling of baby parts, etc. What is the status of that? Because I kept reading that there were potential lawsuits coming out of that last round of videos you put out.
Well, the videos put out with Center for Medical Progress showing Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts.
I'm sorry, I conflated the groups.
Love them. No, yeah. They're great, and we work with them, and it's amazing to see that even in California, STEM Express, who was one of the baby body parts buyers in California, set up as a for-profit, dropped the lawsuit against David Daleiden, and there have been no, you know, the indictment, David Daleiden was a grand jury in Texas. They dropped that as well, the charges against him. So it's pretty incredible that those that were attacking him politically have basically backed off because the evidence is so compelling and so powerful. And all of this, Sean, is happening at a time when Planned Parenthood is literally going out to war against Congress, against the president right now, because they are lying to the American people for their taxpayer money, and they're trying to convince America that they are essential for women's health care when they're really lying, boldfacedly lying about what they actually provide and what they're actually doing.
So are you saying it's your belief, based on this investigation, that they're basically Abortion Inc., and they're using
Absolutely.
How much money, how many taxpayer dollars a year?
They get over $500 million a year, $1.5 million a day from taxpayers. They're the biggest abortion chain. And you know, it's just a huge sham because they're doing it in the name of women and women's health care. You know, they have their pink branding, their signs. They have all of these advertisements online. They were at the Women's March on Saturday in D.C. with their signs. They're claiming to do this for women, but what they're really about is abortion. And you really unpack the services they claim to provide, and they're lying. They're saying we provide prenatal care. They don't. They're saying they said we provide mammograms. They don't. They're saying women come to us for pap smears and annual breast exams. They serve less than 2% of women a year in this country for those services, yet they do a third of abortions in this country every year. It's incredible how they've misled millions of people, and the truth has to come out.
Unbelievable. Well, I think it's terrific work. What did you think of the executive action of the president yesterday, and what do you think that means?
I think it was a wonderful step to have President Trump basically reinstate the Mexico City policy. This would stop the funding from taxpayers again in the U.S. that was going internationally and pushing abortions in other countries through International Planned Parenthood and other groups, basically paying for abortions internationally, paying to promote them internationally. So thankfully, President Trump reinstated that policy that Barack Obama had taken away. But now, Sean, what needs to happen is we need to stop the taxpayer funding in the United States. So it's been cut off internationally through executive order yesterday, but it's still flowing. Right now, 1.5, 1.4 million a day is going to Planned Parenthood, going to abortions in our country now. So that's why people across the country are saying enough is enough. It's time to cut the taxpayer funding in the United States of Planned Parenthood.
Unbelievable. Well, great work. Lila Rose, founder, president, Live Action. We really appreciate the update. And anything else we can do or anything else you have in the works, please let us know. Great work.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's get to our busy telephones. Teresa is in Pensacola, Florida, in the Panhandle. How are you, Teresa? We're glad you called.
Doing great, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. By the way, Lila Rose is my hero. I love that woman. And one of the things that she didn't mention in her call was that the way that Planned Parenthood gets around performing abortions and getting paid for them is that they call it family planning. And if that's their idea of family planning, it's pretty sick.
It is pretty sick. What do you think of the Women's March?
I thought it was absolutely a horrific display of women who do not represent me in the least. I'm a physician, I'm a mother, and I'm a wife of a Navy captain. And
wow,
none of those women represented me.
Pretty disgusting when somebody talks about, well, I really seriously have been thinking about blowing up the White House and nobody on the left seems to care. And why do I believe that if I said that in 2009 when Obama was inaugurated, that somehow my ass would be in jail today?
Yeah, your ass would be in jail, Sean. And that's the whole hypocrisy of the left. They think they can get away with saying anything they want and there's no consequence.
It's true. It's true. All right, good point.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something else. You know, if these women want to get attention, if they want to get respect, go out and work.
Well, I want women to be treated well in every aspect of their lives. This is fear-mongering on a level that it's bordering on comical at this point. I mean, and of course, the media won't show that aspect of it, and there won't be consequences as there would be if it was a conservative march of some kind. Thanks, Teresa. Brenda, Dayton, Ohio, WHIO. Welcome to our nation's capital, Brenda. How are you?
Hi, Sean. I love your show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Sean. I want to make a comment also about this so-called Women's March. And you had a lady on last night that said she was marching because she was offended about what Trump said in the locker room talk about grabbing
right.
a woman's genitalia. But yet all these women stood up and cheered a woman who made a living and a fortune grabbing her own genitalia, acting like raunchy you-know-what on stage. I mean, how does that represent? When did Madonna become a poster child? I mean, a lot of women in America right now, the majority, are totally offended and embarrassed by that march.
Well, I think a lot of women should be embarrassed by that march.
It was embarrassing.
That's my honest take. It was, yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Real quick, we have a minute left. Diana in Southwest Iowa. Diana, about 50 seconds. All yours.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to also comment on the Women's March. I was just honestly so embarrassed. I heard from so much that our children needed to be protected from hearing Trump's locker room talk and some of the stuff and some of the remarks he made. And then yet they want us to turn on the TV to that march and see women dressed up as vaginas and saying the vulgarities that they were saying. And that was okay for children? You could even have children there at the march? How is that not just as bad if they're going to go down that road?
Well, I appreciate the call. I think that's such a good point. You take your three daughters to an inauguration and the Women's March, and look what you get. Unbelievable. Some people take, you know, your son and daughter there. This is what I get to see, pictures of women dressed up as vaginas. I thought building walls around vaginas and erectile dysfunction was bad enough.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. You're with Sean Hannity. On the air now.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show from Washington, D.C., toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Top of the next hour, we're going to go to this DNC forum, one of our top stories today, and the extremism expressed there. In the meantime, we'll get to your calls, but in the meantime, we say hi to Glenda. Glenda's in Florida. Glenda, welcome to our nation's capital. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling in response to the Women's March on Saturday. And I just wanted Mr. Trump to know that the real women are here working every day. We work very long hours, and we go home and take care of our family, and we don't have time to get up there. Those people obviously have nothing better to do, or they're getting probably paid better than we are to do it. But there are real women that are working every day. I know my daughter goes to work early before it's even daylight and comes home late and takes care of her family and then goes back to work. She's an executive, but she didn't get there without working very hard to get where she is. And I did the same. And we didn't have free daycare.
I don't know how anybody gets time to do all the protesting that people do. You know what? The last thing I'd ever want to do in my life is be a part of one of these idiotic protests that accomplish absolutely nothing. I'm not, you know, and what are they actually protesting here? What has Donald Trump done to threaten womanhood in America? What is he doing that is so, that has gotten these people so up in arms? Well, not a whole hell of a lot. I think their big fear is always surrounding one issue, and that's the right to abortion. And if they think, because he said so, he will put originalists on the Supreme Court. Now, I would argue, and many constitutional experts that I have interviewed over the many years argue, that Roe v. Wade was horrific law and that it's an issue that should be decided by states. But all right, thank you so much, Glenda. Tim in Panama City, Florida, you've got less than a minute. Tim, go ahead.
I was just wondering what your opinion would be if I wore a large male genitalia to one of these rallies or to that rally.
You mean to the Women's March?
Oh, yeah. Just walked around there with it on.
Do you remember the story of Lorena Bobbitt? Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
Said, yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm just guessing that
you may
be at risk of them literally chopping your costume off. Who knows?
Does that make sense? I'd hate to do it there in the winter.
Yeah, good point. All right. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your calls. When we come back here on this Tuesday edition of the Sean Hannity Show, we'll get to more of your calls. 800-941-SEAN. We're in our nation's capital. Sean Spicer's got to deal with the press. He will be with us tonight. Reince Priebus tomorrow night. We'll have members of the Freedom Caucus tonight, and Louie Gohmert and Marsha Blackburn. And Thursday night, my one-on-one exclusive hour with Donald Trump in the White House. That's all coming up on Hannity on Fox News.
White leaders in our party have failed. We have to accept that there is prejudice that exists within our own party, and we have to be able to have that conversation. We cannot sweep that under the rug. We cannot continue to hide it. We cannot smash voices down when they are trying to scream, "Listen to me, you don't get it." I'm a white woman. I don't get it. I am pleased and honored to be here today to have the conversation. I am so excited that we're here. And I am listening because that's my job. My job is to listen to the issues. My job is to listen and be a voice. And my job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. My job is to shut other white people down when they want to say, "Oh no, I'm not prejudiced. I'm a Democrat. I'm accepting." My job is to make sure that they get that they have privilege. And until we shut our mouths and we listen to those people who don't, and we lift our people up, so that we all have equity in this country, so that we are all fighting alongside each other, so that we are all on the same page, and we clearly get where we're going, we're not going to break through this. This is not just rhetoric. This is life or death. This moment in our country, the Democratic Party has the opportunity to do something different. We have the opportunity to really confront the fact that we have not been in alignment with our values. We've been talking a lot of smack. We need to make sure that our actions and our words and our values all match. And around the issue of race, we are so far out of alignment, I don't even know the way back. But I am listening and I am asking and I am talking to people. I am talking to people of color because you have the answers. You can tell me as a leader what I need to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, is continue to have those conversations.
and continue to talk to people and make sure that every single system in our party is designed to give power back to the people, all people, but especially those people who have been disenfranchised in our country since our country started. So please, 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 this is a conversation I want to have, and I am from Idaho. We are so white. So white, right? Like, I have been reaching out and trying to connect to anybody of color that I can find to be honest with you. I am not a politician. I am a human being trying to do good work, and I can't do it without y'all. So please, please, please get a hold of me. Sally@wethednc.org. I need schooling, and I depend on you and the people around our community to do that so that I can go school the other white people.
We need it. Let me just tell you a little bit about what happened to me on election morning. Well, we were all grieving, and I was shocked that America elected Donald Trump. I could not believe, I got home around 4 o'clock in the morning, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was woken up. I saw that it was my niece, Tanisha. And what had not even processed in my mind when I was so upset about what the results were, was how she was going to, as a young African-American 20-year-old, how she processed what happened the night before. And she was sobbing so hard that I couldn't understand at first what she was saying. And I kept saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she goes, Uncle Raymond, you have to get me out of here. She feared for her safety by what happened on Election Day. Now, until all of America understands the fear that is out there, the justified fear because of what we are seeing happen across the country to African-American lives, we're never going to be able to move this country forward. It is important. I never again want to ever get a call from Tanisha like that. It was a soul-crushing experience for me. Because when Tanisha was saying, get me out of this country because my life is in danger, because she had that overwhelming fear, that is something that it is not just certain cities. It's not just certain parts of the country. That fear is all across the country. It's even in rural New Hampshire. So when people say Black Lives Matter, you're damn right they matter.
My job is to shut other white people down when they want to interrupt. That was a DNC holding a forum for candidates to become chairman of the Democratic National Committee at George Washington University. That was Sally Boynton Brown, the executive director of Idaho's Democratic Party, urging Democrats to provide training to teach people to be sensitive and how to shut their mouths if they are white. And then, of course, you got Jamu Green, who called all her Fox colleagues liars earlier today or yesterday at the forum. And then, of course, you got Keith Ellison, radical friend of Louis Farrakhan, who we chronicled over the many years here, and much more. And the snowflake meltdown superstorm continues. Jeffrey Lord, former associate political director in the Reagan administration, and wrote the book, of course, What America Needs, The Case for Trump. And Leslie Marshall, host of the Leslie Marshall Show and Fox News contributor. Is that what we need to do? Is our job how to be sensitive and how to shut the mouths of people if they're white and shut other white people down if they dare want to interrupt? Is that who you want leading your party, Leslie, into the future, or Keith Ellison, friend of Louis Farrakhan?
Well, I definitely don't, as a white girl, want to shut up or be told to shut up. And that's,
you get paid to talk a lot.
I will not be heading the DNC.
Okay, but the point is, this is how extreme. Did you watch this? Did you see how extreme these candidates all are? I'm like, I'll take any one of them because they all suck and they're all out of the mainstream.
I don't consider Tom Perez, who's another candidate for the DNC, on the level of Sally, if you want to put somebody under extremism. And I think one of the problems that she's addressing is one of the problems that Democrats do face, which is the fragmentation within the party. And that led to, I believe, the defeat. But, I mean, quite frankly, Democrats put forth the first biracial African-American president, and he was elected. Democrats have a much more diverse body of politicians, whether you're looking at governors, House seats, Senate seats, and not just African-Americans, but, you know, Hispanics, Muslims, women across the board. So it bothers me when I'm hearing this, because I definitely feel that the Democrats have been diverse and have pushed for and fought for diversity, and I find that some of her rhetoric is not only offensive but further divides, which is what my party does not need more of.
All right, Jeffrey Lord, we'll get to the women's march over the weekend, but what's your reaction to this slate of candidates? Kind of all sound a little bit like your friend who you would debate on the Clinton News Network, Van Jones.
Well,
white lash happened.
I have to say, I make this point often. The Democratic Party has a horrific history of racism, a.k.a. judging by skin color. These are the people who are on record, mind you, supporting slavery, segregation, lynching. They were the Ku Klux Klan. Everything was, and this is the important point, always is still about judging people by skin color. So when you hear Sally Boynton Brown up there talking this way, she is directly in the mainstream of her party's history. And that's what's so disturbing about this, that in the 21st century, we are abandoning, or these folks are long since abandoning, if they ever believed it in the first place, Martin Luther King's dream of judging people by the content of their character and not by their skin color. This is where they go. This is where they always go. They are America's party of race, and this proves it.
Oh, I disagree with you, Jeffrey, and I would say that the Democratic Party today is certainly not, and you know the Democratic Party or the old Southern Democrats, of the past, any more than your party is right now the party of Reagan, or maybe it's the party of Reagan, but Donald Trump certainly is not Ronald Reagan. So the parties have changed, and even though those are horrific roots, and I can't disagree more, I can't disagree with you on that. The problem for me is when the rhetoric is not coming from the left that would make the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. roll in his grave, but quite frankly, with our current president and some of the folks on your side of the aisle, Jeffrey Lord, to be my third husband.
Well, let me give you an example of how this works, Sean. This happened to me just yesterday, and I'll give you this very quickly. I was on with Anderson Cooper debating Robert Reich on NAFTA and Donald Trump, and I made the point that my local dry cleaner was opposed to NAFTA and had voted for Trump because the NAFTA standards had caused women's garments to be use the dyes that are not up to American snuff, and so the garments bleed, and this has cost him thousands of dollars. So I make that point. A couple hours later, I get an email from a reporter wanting to know if I had any comment on what I said, and I'm thinking, well, what's with this? I find out that a contributor, not a staff member, to the Daily Beast, who's a Democratic activist as well, had tweeted out that I said, are you ready for this, that Mexican women who come across the border illegally do not use tampons and bleed, and therefore this costs dry cleaners money. Now, this went out all over the Twitter universe, and people even on our side swallowed this whole thing completely whole cloth. Today, thank God, I was rescued because this a reporter for Vanity Fair, who was doing a profile on me, was with me at the dry cleaners and recorded the entire interview. And she took to Twitter, bless her, Tina Nguyen, and backed me up and confirmed everything the dry cleaner said, that this was about the lack of standards, and these dyes came in and they ruined, when they were cleaned, they ruined the clothing, etc. My point is, this is how these people are going to play this game for the next 4 years.
Oh,
this
Jeffrey,
is going to be
please,
bloody,
I love you, but
will.
My violin stays in the case, and this is why. If you're talking about fake either news or fake reporting online and in places like Twitter, it's happening every day, and I'm seeing a lot of it on your side. Look, I'm hearing about illegal voters, and that's why our current president did not win the popular vote. Come on, Jeffrey, and I'm sorry anybody attacked you on that, because it's ludicrous that anybody would even believe a tweet like that.
Exactly.
Let me take this a step further, though, Jeff, because this is important. There's a total, complete, extreme element to the Democratic Party that has emerged here. And I would even argue that people like Nancy Pelosi are a big part of it and others. But so we had this women's march over the weekend, and I call it, well, let's blow up the White House march for women, considering the comments of Madonna. And let's play a little Madonna, a little Ashley Judd here to remind people of how extreme this is.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, you. You, it is the beginning of much needed change. Change that will require sacrifice, people. Change that will require many of us to make different choices in our lives. My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has.
All right, I'm going to pick it up there when we get back, and we'll. No, no, this gets better, Jeff. We'll have more with Leslie Marshall and Jeff Lord about the let's contemplate blowing up the White House march over the weekend.
Now that Uncle Joe has left the building, maybe we can get back to bringing jobs home. That's Jobs, J-O-B-S. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, as we continue, the snowflake superstorm continues. We go back to the women's, well, I'm contemplating blowing up the White House march over the weekend with Madonna. And, of course, this was Ashley Judd. You're going to love this.
I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair?
And then, of course, Madonna contemplating blowing up the White House. You know, if it wasn't so bizarre, it is very humorous, Jeffrey. I hear you laughing in the background. I mean, this is your modern Democratic freak-out party. It's amazing.
Sean, can I comment on that? Because I got to go, guys, and not that I'm trying to bail, but I got to do.
Oh yeah,
TV.
Do you want to comment on the blood stains on your bed sheets?
Honestly,
go ahead,
Sean. I'm a woman, and I do deal with that like other women do, and that just grosses me out.
You want to talk about being nasty like did?
Wait, I am a nasty woman in the sense of being a Hillary supporter who was upset that she didn't become president. But you can pick apart what Madonna said. You don't need to drop F-bombs, and nobody should ever threaten any sitting president. Period. And Ashley Judd, I was like, as a woman, the first time I saw that and heard that, I'm like, what are you saying? Where are you going? What are you doing? But you can't overlook the numbers, and you can't overlook the power those numbers could be if put to proper use in elections in 2 years and 4 years, and as consumers, not just here in the United States, millions strong.
Leslie, you're not addressing the question. Leslie, that was as extreme as it gets, and you won't even say it. All right.
No, I just said that. Sean,
you said it about Madonna. What about?
I did not appreciate what you said.
You want to be? Is that the woman's movement today? What Ashley Judd and Madonna are? Okay, that's great. Gloria Steinem. All right, let's go to Jeff Lord.
Sean, as it happens, I was there for the march. Believe it or not, I was in Washington.
What were you doing there?
CNN coverage, and I took my friend. We had time during the day. We were going to go to the African American Museum. We couldn't get there finally after walking all the way down the avenue because there were so many thousands of people outside essentially blocking the access to it.
Yeah,
however, along
break.
The way, and you know what I'm talking about, when you have a recognizable face, I'd say most of these people were pretty good. But without doubt, I had the F-bomb dropped on me, the get off television and go home. I mean, there were people that got literally right in my face. And
I got a break.
Screamed at
me.
It was an interesting experience.
Well, just look at the comments. They're so extreme. I know you've got to go, too. Leslie, thank you. Jeff, thank you. I wish I had more time. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We're in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. We'll get to your calls, 800-941-SEAN, when we continue.
You know, I could do this all day.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, you. It is the beginning of much-needed change.
We have to take over the Democratic Party. We need new leadership. We need young leadership. We need women leadership. We need people of color. We need gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender.
We will not build a stupid wall. And we will not tear millions of families apart. Not on our watch. And we believe that sexism
racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger.
Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes.
When we elect a possible president, we too often go home. We've elected an impossible president. We're never going home. We're staying together. And we're taking over.
President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things.
I'm not nasty, like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty, like my bloodstains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House, but I know that this won't change anything.
To be a joke, I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better fix this right now. I literally am gonna die. I need an ambulance.
I'm literally gonna die. I need an ambulance. Blood on my... I'm nasty. I'm nasty. Like bloodstains on my sheets or whatever. I'm going to blow up the White House. Brigade is in town. Madness, insanity, snowflake, superstorm. Anyway, it's the Sean Hannity Show. We're in Washington, D.C. You cannot ever make this stuff up. You know, I noticed that some are trying to compare this to the Tea Party. This is not the Tea Party. Tea Party, what were they doing? Waving flags, you know, putting their kids in flag shirts and saying patriotic things and saying, yeah, we don't want government this big, this abusive, this regulatory, this out of control, and that we'd like to manage our budgets. That's all that is. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. I want to give you a little few programming notes that we have going on tonight. All right, so we have all these issues with the news media that I discussed earlier in the program today. You have the very same people that colluded with Hillary to help Hillary win. The same people are in that press room. And but I like what Newt Gingrich and others and I have been suggesting is open the White House press briefing to non-journalists. Now, they've added Breitbart and they've added radio hosts from around the country and they're adding others. And they're not going in the same order. I noticed Sean Spicer, this was not picked up by anybody. He didn't go in the same order. Usually they start with AP, then the big networks, and then the cable channels, and then on down the list, and then maybe one or two other people. No, that's not how Sean Spicer was rolling. And then the AP would usually stand up just like Helen Thomas did back in Reagan's day and say, okay, press conference is over. He said, no, I'm not done yet. And he kept going. And I thought he did a really, really good job. And I will say this, you know, maybe we should allow American citizens whose questions might counteract those of these left-wing media, alt-radical left media personalities that are way overpaid. Oh, Hannity, you work in TV. Aren't you overpaid? Yeah, but don't tell anybody I'm overpaid. I admit it, at least, because I did real work for two full days. You know, somebody told me the other day, my buddy Andy Fien. Andy Fien I went to high school with. He was one of the funniest guys in high school. He goes, I listened to your radio show, and he goes, when you say you were a painting contractor, a paper hanging contractor, and a general contractor, you don't say, you know, it sounds like you did it on the weekend as a side job. And because we did jobs together, he goes, I don't think people understand that you did this full time for a decade of your life. I said, okay, I did it full time for a decade of my life. I just kind of switched around a little bit, and I did a number of different things, framing. I did a lot of rehabbing of houses before it was as popular as it is now. I was actually pretty good at it. A painting contractor, Andy taught me how to hang wallpaper, probably the best paper hanger in Long Island in New York. He even goes all around the country because people want his skills. And he's just a good friend of mine, and I ran into him. I had to go to a wake on Sunday for a good friend of mine who lost his mother, and we were just talking. He goes, you don't make it clear. It makes it sound like you did this part-time. I'm like, what are you talking about? I did it a decade of my life. I'm like screaming at him. So in comparison to those people that work for a living, yeah, TV people are way overpaid. And half of them are lazy, and they just suck. And they're totally abusively biased. Why are you laughing, sweet baby James? It's funny. Why? Because I'm calling out the media for being lazy? Okay. Did the media vet Obama? No. Did the media vet Hillary? No. Did the media look into her server scandal? No. Did they look into the Clinton Foundation scandal? No. They were colluding with Hillary, and yet they try and present themselves as honest brokers to the American public. It's one big, fat, phony lie. Anyway, so Sean Spicer will be on tonight. Tomorrow we'll have Reince Priebus on, and then Thursday for the full hour on Hannity, we will be in the White House with the new president, Donald Trump. It's all part of the best first-week coverage you'll get anywhere, and continuing coverage. You know, people accused me during the campaign, well, you didn't ask Trump the tough questions. I did so. I asked Trump detailed questions about immigration. I said, well, you don't expect Mexico to give you a check, do you? People forget that. And then he said, no, I don't. This is how they're going to pay. And then when he said, we're going to lay out money to pay for the wall, Mexico is going to pay us back. See, he's breaking a promise. No, he didn't. I interviewed him. You know, the most important questions I will be asking him on Thursday is about the promises he made. And I would argue that the extent that Donald Trump is going to be successful as president, there will be a direct correlation to the percentage of promises he made and keeps. That will define his presidency. And if he keeps his promise on vetting refugees and originalists on the court and corporate tax rates and repatriation and middle class tax cuts and energy independence and building the wall and education back to the states, you know, all these things we talk about, repealing, replacing Obamacare, he does all those things. He won't even have to get on his plane to get reelected. He'll walk into reelection because I've always contended that conservatism will work. You know what the left fears the most about Donald Trump right now? That he will be successful. They fear it because their power is threatened if he's successful. And if he does the things he said and he doesn't have to battle Congress, I'm more worried about the Republicans in the Senate and some Republicans in the House that like the way the old guard did things. And those are the people I'm concerned about. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN. But, you know, there's something. So we have Sean Spicer on tonight. Also, Ted Cruz is going to join us tonight. We're going to sit down with it's part one of our series. We sat down with Louie Gohmert and who else? Congressman Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. And I forget, the Congressman Stone, I believe, from Pennsylvania, and Marsha Blackburn. These are the few conservatives that we're going to have to rely on to keep the establishment Republicans from going rogue and battling Trump. I mean, the fact, you know, Trump's talking about a 10% spending cut. How great would that be? How refreshing would that be? And a 20% reduction in the workforce. Don't you think government is too big, too fat, too bloated, too out of control, too involved in your day-to-day life? You know, listen to what Donald Trump was explaining earlier today when he went forward with some of his measures today. You know, it was kind of refreshing when he said, oh, yeah, we're going to move forward with the Keystone Pipeline, but we're going to renegotiate certain aspects of it. And we're going to streamline all the regulatory burdens, just the first step towards a 75% reduction in burdensome regulations. And then we're going to go forward with the Dakota Access Pipeline. And then when we're done with that, we're going to make sure that we renegotiate it so it benefits American steel workers and put them back to work. And if we're going to have a pipeline, we want American pipes to be used on the pipeline. And then we'll expedite all these ridiculous environmental reviews that if a turtle lays an egg, that you can't just move the egg to another location and save the turtle that way. No, we've got to stop all building. A buddy of mine was building an apartment, a condo project, I guess, down in Florida. Really good guy. And literally every morning, he had to check to see if turtles had laid their eggs on the beach. If any turtles laid their eggs, that project stopped immediately. Now, when I know something about building, having been a contractor. If you have to put a project on hold while turtle eggs are beginning to develop and hatch, you're losing a fortune. And a bunch of people, not turtles, people, are out of work because the job site has been put on hold. And then you're going to make less money at the end of the day. And what about the risk? What if the economy goes south in the interim while the turtles are being hatched or whatever the hell they do? I don't know. What do I know about turtle eggs? Can you eat them? Are they as good as chicken eggs? I don't know. Let's get to our phones here. Let us say hi to Pam in Yuma, Arizona. How are you?
Hi.
What's going on? What can I do for you?
I wanted to voice my opinion on the women's rights where abortion is concerned. In my opinion, when they chose to have sex, they knew that there would be consequences of a possible pregnancy, and they made their choice. There shouldn't be. It's like you get in your car, you drive your car, you know that you're possibly going to have an accident.
Well, you and I make a similar argument because, you know, I'm pro-choice, too. Now, let's think about this. But, yeah, I make if you get in a car, a guy and a woman get in a car, okay, and we're talking about mm-hmm. consensual behavior here. All right, and you decide to start making out in the car, right? And then you decide that you're going to go a little further. And then a little petting goes on in the car. And then you got to go a little further. Then one article of clothing comes off. Well, each article of clothing comes off is a choice. And then eventually you guys are going to make a decision about whether or not you're going to go there and have sex. That would be a choice, too. So right. You have a lot of choices you make. You get in the car, that's a choice. You take off each article of clothing, choice, 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 choice. Unless it's a bathing suit, there's only one choice for a man and two for a woman. You know, unless it's a nude beach. So the bottom line is, yeah, you make a lot of choices. Now, then you choose to use birth control and not use birth control. There are a lot of choices that people make. And then you say, well, Hannity, that's unrealistic. You can't expect human beings to be in control of their bodies in that moment of passion. I'm like, yeah, I can. You know, if you're going to be engaged in adult behavior, you better make adult decisions and you better think through what the possible consequences are. Because
exactly.
That's what mature, responsible adults do, isn't it?
Yes.
By the way, I don't remember ever making out that much in a car. It's like the worst. Who wants to make out
in
a car?
No, the car thing was, if you get in your car and you go drive somewhere, you know that there's a possibility you'll have an accident.
Sweet baby James, by the way, just said, I want to make out in a car. What? You're married to my sister. You think I really want to hear this? Really? You think I care about this? Anyway, what were you saying? Go ahead.
Oh. You have an accident while you're in your car. You lose your leg. You don't get a do-over.
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Listen, with freedom comes responsibility. And that's something that Americans are going to have to get accustomed to. All right? Anyway, thank you for the call. 800-941-SHAWN.
Exposing terrorism and supporting America's freedom. Sean Hannity is on right now.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We'll be back here in D.C. tomorrow. Let me give you a quick programming notes. Tonight, Hannity, 10 Eastern, Senator Ted Cruz, Sean Spicer. He's got to deal with this media group that are hostile to Donald Trump. What's going to be different? We'll find out. Then we have Congressman Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and Louie Gohmert, Marsha Blackburn. And then on tomorrow, we'll have Reince Priebus. And then Thursday, I will have an in the White House interview with the new president, Donald Trump. That's 10 Eastern on Thursday night. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you tonight, 10 Eastern. Set your DVR. Hannity, Fox News. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now, you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epic Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now, don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, warmer days remind us of fond summer memories. Now you can make those moments year-round with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas, and that combines the leisure of a hot tub with the exercise benefits of a pool. Now, Master Spas technology is incredible with LED lighting, beautiful waterfalls, and those super powerful water jets installed in just one day. You're going to love it. Proudly made in America, use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. That's masterspas.com for up to $1,000 off. You can exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.